Dr. Aaron Dossey is a biochemist and entomologist and is the founder and owner of All Things Bugs, a biotech research and development company dedicated to insect-based applications, including insect-based foods. He joins us now by phone from Athens, Georgia, to tell us why insects may be the food of the future. Dr. Dossey, welcome to the Roadhouse.
Hey, thanks for inviting me.
Well, you're very welcome. Now, this idea of eating bugs is not a new thing. Can you brief us a little bit on the history around the world of insects as human food?
Sure. I am not extremely well-versed in this, but I know as long as there have been people, people have been eating insects. There's examples in the Bible. John the Baptist ate locusts and wild honey, both of which come from insects. And even today, there's many cultures that some estimate as high as 80% of the world's population actually eats insects and things related to insects as a regular part of their diet.
For purposes of this discussion, how would you define insect?
So insect is a class of organisms. So there's a kingdom, phylum, class, order, genus, species is kind of the hierarchy, obviously, with kingdom at the top. And so it's an animal, and they have six legs. They have an exoskeleton made of chitin, which is a polysaccharide. And that's basically what really defines an insect, the six legs and different aspects of their anatomy.
What about, I read a bit on this in preparation for talking to you, it seemed like there's a lot of people that eat grubs and caterpillars. Do they meet the definition of insects?
Yeah, grubs and caterpillars are actually the larval stages, the babies, if you will, of those types of things. So a grub is the larval stage of a beetle, and a caterpillar is the larval stage of a butterfly or moth.
What is the current use of insects? You're saying roughly 80% of the world now has some portion of their diet insect protein.
Yeah, that's one of the highest estimates that I've read. And again, I'm not an ethnoentomologist, which is somebody that studies the cultural aspects of entomology and use of insects. But that would potentially be accurate because people in Thailand, Mexico, and Africa are the places I'm aware of where really there are places that are edible insects at markets are quite common. Grasshoppers, even in Thailand, there are exotic things like non-insects, arachnids like spiders and even centipedes, which are neither. But grasshoppers, crickets, like you said, beetle grubs, caterpillars seem to be the more popular thing.
Why do you think now there is a need for insects as a food source for more people than are presently eating it?
So, I mean, I think there are a lot of health benefits. And we can talk about that, but I mean the population is 7 billion, projected in the next less than 50 years to be 9 billion, and already 30% of the world's land is farmed, cultivated just to feed cattle, just to feed livestock like cows, pigs, and chickens. So basically there's no more land. We need to start utilizing protein sources that are much, much more efficient, even really to sustain the population we have, considering a lot of the land, that the productivity and the nutrient value of the land is going down and over time and things like this. But I mean, there's tons of great things you can do with insects as a food ingredient, so I don't really see that as a problem, and they're probably ultimately healthier for us.
So you're saying that at this point it's not sustainable what we're doing unless we switch to some other protein source.
Yeah, I mean it's a small but I think extremely significant part of what we need to do. But yeah, I think we overall sustainability, getting more with less resources and being much more efficient with our resources is absolutely critical.
Why do you think insects are better than animal or vegetable foods for the future?
They're very efficient. And again, insect is just another type of animal. But they're more for the poundage of feed that you give an insect and the amount of water, it's about, it can be as little as I've seen estimates of and calculations of 6 to 10 to one as far as how efficient an insect is versus a cow or a pig or a chicken. So you get much less edible material, much more edible material, much more protein for a certain feed or water input than out of an insect than you do anything else, any other type of animal that we utilize, particularly the warm-blooded one. And land use, insects don't need to graze, so insects can be raised very efficiently and even skyscrapers in urban settings, and because you're typically farmed indoors in very clean settings.
So give me an example of an insect farm.
So there are actually cricket and mealworm farms in the United States, and the history of that, originally back in the 40s and 50s, they started as producing insects as fish bait, and then in the 70s, 80s, the industry evolved to supplying pet shops because people started to have lizards and reptiles and things that needed live insects as feed. But now we're trying to push them to evolve and again to supply the human grade insect market. So there are, as I'm aware of, maybe at least 4 or 5 farms in the U.S. that produce maybe around 400 or 500 tons of cricket and maybe about the same amount of mealworm per year.
What would you say are the biggest obstacles to insects as food in the United States, say?
I would say supply, just the supply chain, which would include the number of farms and the size of farms. And because of the relatively, compared to our other food sources, small to medium scale of the current industry, cost is a little bit of an issue. But at scale, insects will, like I said, because of the efficiencies involved, be much, much cheaper, high-quality animal source protein than these other things. But currently, I would say supply and scale. Not so much the cultural biases. There's a significant early adapter and significant portion of the population we're finding that really doesn't seem to have much of a problem with eating insects, particularly if they're incorporated into some other type of food that they're familiar with.
Really? So you don't think the sort of Western aversion to eating bugs is necessarily a problem?
I believe that there's enough of a market that exists that's okay with it for our industry to get started, and I believe that with friends and family eating insect products, more tasty products becoming available, and just more exposure, I believe that the remainder of the population who currently is not interested in it will, over the next maybe decade or so, eventually a majority of the population will be totally okay with eating insects. I don't see it as a problem.
What do you think? What is the basis for the general aversion? And I think we have to concede that there is a general aversion.
Oh, sure.
To eating. I mean, when you think of crunching on a cricket or something like that, but I think you're talking about presenting it in a different manner. But let's just, What is the basis for the aversion to eating insects?
There's some work that has been done by some people, professors like Florence Dunkel and Montana State University and some other places, and they have looked at that a little bit. My understanding is that it's basically what we're taught about insects, that they're small and they're creepy and crawly and dirty, just kind of from a young age, the things we're taught about them. They're associated, probably wrongly in most cases, in the vast majority of species, associated with carrying disease and living in dirty places, when the fact is many insects live in very clean places, like in the tops of trees, and of course the ones in farms are in extremely clean conditions. And the fact that they have extra legs and appendages like antenna, they don't look like other things that at least our culture has grown accustomed over hundreds of years to eating. Part of it may be the culinary, I guess the texture aspect, like you said, crunching on a whole insect, the idea of looking at one on your plate is not attractive. But that's not attractive probably for a number of different food items. If you saw the raw whole thing on your plate. And there's not as much you can do with a whole insect from a food production or culinary point of view. But once you grind them into a powder, get them into kind of a paste or something, you can...
That's the question. How do you prepare them? How would you deal with the aversion or avoid the prospect of, you know, with a knife and fork cutting into a grasshopper?
Yeah. I mean, I think powder. Yeah. Powder's pretty much the seems to be the solution. Of course, there's multiple ways, many different technologies you can utilize to do protein extract or make your whole insect powder. And I have actually a patented process my company uses that makes a very high quality can be a protein extract, or it can be a whole insect, whole natural insect of a powder. But I think just grinding it, getting it into the format that, or a liquid or a paste, or can be incorporated into a baked good, a cookie, a protein bar.
I do want to ask you specifics about your company. Sure. And the products you have. Just following up on the cuisine issue here, how about, are there different tastes depending on what insect you're dealing with?
So at least in the whole form, depending again on how you prepare it, different insects can have or retain their original, quote-unquote, original flavor, particularly herbivores. Insects that eat plants may taste a bit like the plant. Things that live in the soil may taste like a bit like soil, depending on how you prepare it. Some insects actually have a chemical defense secretion that's used defensively in nature, but that can give them a flavor. But really what we're looking at is using insects like crickets and mealworms that have a very benign, very neutral bland flavor, so then they can be incorporated in foods, and then it becomes all about how you flavor them.
And mealworms sound similar to, well, mealworm, is that a larval stage? Is that what you said earlier?
Yeah, that's the
so grubs
stage.
And caterpillars, you could still dry them and pulverize them as well?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can grind up just about anything, extract it. So, I've, as you mentioned, I'm a biochemist, so I've ground up and extracted just about everything you can imagine. and it all came down just to doing the processing it to get what you want out of it.
And how does the protein that you get compare with protein from other animal foods or even beans or vegetables?
So insect protein, again, is insects as a type of animal. Insects are a type of animal. Their protein, as judged by the amino acid content, they have all of the essential amino acids just like any other animal-sourced protein like milk or beef or something, particularly high in the branched-chain amino acids, which are very important for rebuilding muscle, recovery of muscle after activity, and also related to brain function. So they are very digestible, very complete protein as their source because they are animals.
I've read about cultures where they're eating large quantities of caterpillars or grubs or something, and probably just eating them. I don't even know if they're dead when they eat them, but they eat them pretty raw. That's mostly in tropical and subtropical countries, I believe. That's not likely to go in the Western world, is it?
Probably not. And it is also the aspect of eating insects from the wild versus from clean farms, or there's health risks. A lot of the species that are eaten around the world cannot be sustainably produced because they live in a specific type of tree.
And they're also, if they're taking them from the wild, there's an issue of insecticide pollution on the insects that are being harvested, isn't there?
Possibly. I mean, the fact that the insect is alive would suggest to me its exposure to insecticide is not high, but other things like pathogens, heavy metals, other environmental toxins, I would be more concerned about from a wild insect.
You would avoid that, obviously, in farmed insects.
Oh yeah, and actually, I've talked to a lot of the cricket farmers, obviously, in sourcing my insects and things, and they just from a cleanliness and a health point of view, they have to be very low in pesticides because pesticides are designed to kill insects. And historically, maybe years or decades ago, some of them have stories where they've bought the wrong feed or actually accidentally gotten chicken feed, that the trace levels of insecticide was enough to wipe out their crickets. So the fact that the crickets are even alive suggests that there is evidence that there's really
not much insecticide. Yeah. Are there world organizations that are doing anything to promote this sort of food at this point?
Yeah, I guess kind of the famous example currently is the actually the United Nations is really promoting this. They have a group dedicated to this, and I'm not as familiar as I should be of the exact structure of the group and who and what other organizations are involved. But they are promoting this from both a sustainability as well as a health.
Yeah, there was a world conference or something like that for the first time this year, organized by the UN about use of insect for food. Now let's turn to your company for a minute. Why don't you describe how you got started and tell us a little bit. I know that you received some sort of a grant from the Gates Foundation, the Bill and Linda Gates Foundation. Can you tell us a little bit about your company and that funding?
Depending on how far back you want to go, I was basically trying to, as a biochemist and entomologist, my career track was academic, so I was finding different ways that I could boost the prospects of getting a faculty job, and I can we could do a whole other interview on a science careers
career but, change
I saw the opportunity announced, and one of the things that you do as an academic is get grants so you can have the funding to do your research, and they called in 2011 in the summer saying, where it was the idea was to produce a food product to alleviate malnutrition in children using insects as the protein source. So they were interested, but I was a postdoc, which is a career stage that's not typically eligible to be in charge of grants because of it's a temporary stage after your PhD. So my options were either to hurry up and get a faculty job or start a company. So I started a company, and then I had to wait until May of 2012 before I even knew if I was getting the grant. So yeah, in the meantime, just started doing experiments.
We are speaking here with Dr. Aaron Dossey, a biochemist and entomologist, founded the company he's just talking about now called All Things Bugs LLC, a biotech research and development company. We're talking about insects as food for the human population. What products is your company working on now?
So currently the product, and my company is a wholesale ingredient company, so we mass produce powders, high protein, high nutrient powders made from insects. And our current product that's available, at wholesale, is a whole cricket powder. So it uses technology that I invented, patented technology, to turn crickets into a fine powder ingredient that can be used in protein bars and baked goods and even alternative meats, and that it has appears to have a lot of functional uses in food. But we're looking into a whole mealworm powder and also high protein concentrates and extracts from crickets and mealworms.
So this is not a powder you're going to find at your local grocery store or the local co-op, but rather in products that get produced and sold in the local grocery stores.
Exactly. Yeah. At least for now, we've thought about retail, but we're just not a company. Maybe in a few years or a couple of years, we'll develop some end product, but we're pretty much focused on the wholesale market. That's the
Let's say FDA approval. Nothing different about selling insects in any other food product, is there?
So there, it's ongoing conversation since this is such a new thing. All of the companies in this emerging industry are, just like me, talking to the FDA and local and state regulatory agencies about guidance. The primary, we're figuring out the initial things we have to do for compliance. And as this really grows, then there will probably be more detailed guidance. But the primary thing right now is that the insects are produced for human consumption and not diverted from the food supply. So it would be analogous to, you can't go down and buy a bag of chicken feed and make bread out of it and serve it to people. So in the same paradigm, I have to negotiate with the cricket farms to specifically produce the crickets and mealworms for our application.
And
but they're very clean, so we don't anticipate many problems in the future either.
You're located in the southern part of the country, where it's probably more insects are more readily, more easily harvested or farmed. What is there any hope for us up here in the cold north?
Actually, I think the largest, if not one of the largest, at least the top three cricket farms and mealworm farms in the U.S. is in Illinois.
Really?
And there's another farm, I think, in Youngstown, Ohio, that's starting up to. And its mission is purely to graze crickets for human consumption.
Well, this is a very interesting topic, and obviously is in sort of the birth stages here in the United States, and you are right in the front row. Is there anything else you'd like to add to what we've discussed that our listeners might be interested in?
I just updated my website, www.allthingsbugs.com. You can find a lot of articles posted in there to learn more about this. Find us on Facebook at All Things Bugs, and as well as Twitter. And I would also just like to add that we're really finding that insects from farms can be much cleaner than other livestock. We've never found E. coli, Listeria, or Salmonella, or Staph in any of the raw insects, so that's kind of a message we're trying to get out that, you know, these things are really, really clean.
Yeah, and as you say, it appears that from research you've described that people are more open to especially use in products of insect protein.
Yeah, that's definitely that's the way it's going to become a reality.
Sure. Well, thank you very much. It's a very interesting topic, Dr. Dossie, and all the best to you and your company and the future of insect protein. Thank you very much for joining us here on The Roadhouse.